Luke 24. Luke 24. Let's read the first 12 verses. Luke 24. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Joseph had a large stone rolled over the door. It took three or four strong men to put it there and to remove it. Verse 3, they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, the men, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene. Who are they? Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter. John also went with him, as told in another gospel, and ran of the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, he and John, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And I believe, I'm certain, that Mary went back with them, and that's when the Lord appeared to Mary in John's gospel, when he said, Mary. This is the story of our Lord's resurrection. It's told so often, it's been told so long, heard by everyone. And it is now become commonplace. Just an interesting story. A phenomena, yes, but just an interesting story. To many, it has become just an idle tale. Someone rose from the dead. Now, our Lord said, no one will believe even though someone rose from the dead. That's not where faith comes from. Believing this phenomena. Just believing the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Many say they believe that. That's not salvation. We're going to see salvation's by revelation. It's a person revealing himself to you, who he is, living, reigning, ruling Lord Jesus. Did you notice with me how it said they found not the body of the Lord Jesus? That's who he is now. That's what Romans 14 says. To this end, Christ both died, was buried, and rose again, that he might be Lord. Yes, a man named Jesus died. We see him made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But now he's crowned with honor and glory. And what do you call him? Lord. This proves who he is. He's not just a man named Jesus. Even these disciples walking on the road, they were confused. What happened to Jesus? What they did to Jesus? That's the next message. But see, everything hangs on this. Our Lord rising from the grave, being raised from the dead. Everything hangs on him. Everything hangs on him, our living, reigning, ruling Lord. Salvation is not a doctrine. Salvation is not in a book. He is the book. Salvation is in him. In him we live and move and have our being. God's people know that. Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, before the Lord came to reveal himself to him, Saul believed God was sovereign, he believed the Bible, he was orthodox, he kept the Sabbath, and on it goes. He was a good man, good works and all that, but he hated the truth. He did not believe Christ. He didn't really need Christ. He had a righteousness. Remember, he said, I'm blameless. Then why'd Christ come and die? He didn't need him to die for you. Saul, who was Paul, hated, but he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He heard his voice. He saw his glory. He fell at his feet, trembling, and he begged him, asked him, what are you going to do with me, Lord? And God said, I've chosen you. Election. He realized then and there, didn't he? You don't choose God. You don't even know God unless God knows you and comes to you. He met him. And from then on, who did Paul preach? What did Paul preach? Paul, now his name has changed. His name means small. Well, who hath despised a day of small things? The Lord used that man. My. Preach the gospel everywhere. Gospel's power of God, not men. But he went about preaching Christ. And every time, in Acts, every time Paul stood up to preach for anybody, he talked about the living Lord. How Christ has risen from the dead. He said, this is why I'm called into question. This is why people hate me, for the resurrection. That is, I preach a living person, not dead doctrine, not orthodoxy. No, I preach a reigning, ruling, living person seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high, who did what he came to do and went back and sat down. He's coming again to get those he came to do it for. That's all he preached. That's who he preached. That's who Peter preached at Pentecost, didn't he? And it struck fear. What struck fear? A person. A sovereign, reigning, ruling Lord on the throne. That struck fear in 3,000 souls. What are we going to do? We're in the hands of Jesus. He's not just Jesus like we thought. He's God. So salvation is by revelation. Revelation. Salvation is by sovereign election. He chooses whom he will to reveal himself to whom he will. Him. He reveals himself. Christ said, Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. In me. Our Lord, his person, his work, everything about him, the truth, everything has been hidden from men and women from the beginning. It's been a mystery, it's been hidden. Though every eye, every ear has to some degree seen these things, yet they're hidden. His birth, when our Lord came, his birth, though prophesied all through the Scriptures, where he would be born, it looks like everybody would be camping out at Bethlehem. His birth prophesied, his actual appearance when he came was hidden. It was in the dark. That was by design. Hidden to the world, revealed to who? A few shepherds on a mountainside. A few shepherds sitting, watching over their sheep. That's fit, isn't it? And a poor man and his wife. Surrounded by some dumb animals. Dumb animals. The ox knows his owner. The ass knows his master creator. Man doesn't know his maker. Came to his own received him not. So his birth was done in the dark while the world slept. A star shone. A bright star shone, pointed exactly to Bethlehem. Right there he is.
Who saw it?
A few wise men all the way from afar off. Have you seen His glory? Here's the marvel. Here's the wonder. Here's amazing mercy and grace, isn't it? Have you seen His glory? Have you heard His voice? Has He revealed Himself to you? Who? You see your calling, brethren? I use this word all the time because I can't think of another way to put it. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Just unbelievable. I can't believe it. The disciples, when the Lord appeared to them the second time, says they couldn't believe for joy. They were just beside themselves. His life, His words, His miracles were public. All heard, all saw. Yet most followed Him for the food and the miracles, didn't they? And He turned and rebuked them sharply. Multitude, you follow me for what you can get out of me. And isn't that what men do today? They say they follow Jesus. Why? Because all your troubles will be over, you know. He'll provide health and wealth and all that. That's not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. He said your troubles are just starting. You follow me, your troubles are just beginning. So they follow Him for the miracles, for the loaves and fishes and all that. Few chosen disciples followed Him for Him. They loved Him. They hung on Him. Remember when the Lord said, "Here's, will you also go away?" And Simon Peter said, "To whom?" Like David, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth I desire beside thee." How do you know? I'm following you. Like these women. Few chosen women. You know, His birth, like I said, His birth. One man in the temple named Simeon, an old man, about to die, waiting. The Lord came to him, didn't it? One woman named Anna. One. And she spoke of, what did she speak of? Him. All to look for redemption. His life, His words, His miracles were all public, yet just a few chosen disciples believed Him, looked to Him, loved Him. They were words of life to them. And they all said, to a man, to a woman, they all said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the one who should come, the one who came for me. I'm not leaving." His transfiguration was only seen by three. And it was in Galilee. We're going to see that in a minute. Galilee. Everybody despised Galilee. That's where Nazareth was. Three chosen disciples saw the Lord at who He was, transfigured, when He peeled back that robe of flesh to reveal to them whom He had chosen. His crucifixion, though now known and seemingly believed by all, yet it was in the dark, wasn't it? Darkness. And at His crucifixion, the whole earth shook. The Scripture says the whole globe shook when Christ was crucified. Why didn't the whole world then hit their knees? Wouldn't you think? The dead arose, graves opened, and people walked out. Why didn't everybody? Because they won't believe the one rose from the dead. That's not where salvation comes. Salvation comes when Jesus Christ reveals Himself to you. Like the woman at the well. "I am. I've come for you." Nobody else. He came for her. Well, she dropped her wallet. Dropped everything and everybody. Dropped that fella she was living with. She's one of them. You know that? That woman at the well is one of them. I started to entitle this, "Here They Come." Back again. To Him. To whom? Coming. You can't keep them away. Here they are. When He first found them, revealed himself to them,
that he loved them and came to save them, then they loved him. And you, nothing and no one's going to separate them from him.
Here they are. Are you one of them? I think you are. Here you are. You've come back.
Now you see your calling, brethren? Bless God, I think I'm one of them. Let us not ever get over that. His ascension. He went back to glory. Who saw that? Who saw that? Just those chosen. He took them out on a hill in Bethany, little old town, house of figs, Bethany. Took them out on a hill, and they saw him ascend to glory in the clouds and heard the angels say, he's coming back. That day forward, they went. Oh, his second coming. Every eye is going to see him, but not every eye has been waiting on him. Not every eye, not every heart believes him. And I believe it's going to be like he came the first time, in darkness while the world sleeps. Then like lightning lights the sky. He's going to, God's people. Trump shall sound. You know that? The dead in Christ shall rise. The saints ascend. And all shall see him. Ooh. These Galileans. Look at it. Verse 1. Upon the first day of the week. Here they come. First day of the week. You know, isn't that significant? Here we are. Back again. First day of the week. See, Christ is our Sabbath, isn't it? We don't meet on a day. We don't worship a day. We don't even observe a day, do we? This is not a Christian Sabbath. It's just a day like any other day. Not a holy day. There's no day, no things. There's nothing, no thing or time or place holy. You understand that? Every day is the Lord's day. God's people worship every day of the week. Every day. But this is the day, it's called the Lord's Day, because it's the day our Lord arose from the grave, and it's the day he's told us to meet together to worship him. But we don't hallow this day. We hallowed be his name, he said. We worship. We don't come here because it's Sunday, because we're supposed to. We come here because he said he'd be with us. We're hopeful. This is the day. I was glad when they said unto us, let's go to the house of the Lord. Glad. I'm glad for this day, aren't you? But God's people worship him every day. But it was the first day of the week, and they came very early. Very early in the morning. Mark's gospel says, at the rising of the sun. They came at the rising of the sun. That's when we're going to come, when he raises us. We see him, Son of Righteousness, arisen. And they came. Who? Look at chapter 23, verse 49. This is significant. All his acquaintance. That's who's coming. That's who comes to him. His acquaintance. Those he knows and loves and those who are acquainted with him. John, I love this. We know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know him that is true and we're in him that is true. This is salvation. He's given us an understanding. We're acquainted with him. We're married to him. Verse number 49. And the women that followed him from Galilee, beholding these things. That's who came. His chosen, his saved one, these women, they came when he called the first time. They followed him. They fell. They sat. They worshiped him. And they kept coming. As I said, they're following him. And you can't keep them from the Lord now. Mary Magdalene, when he called her in Galilee. Magdala is in Galilee, a little town by the seashore. Poor little town. She was a poor little woman. Forlorn woman. Full of seven devils. Mary. Her name means bitter. Oh, he's going to turn her bitterness to sweetness. The Lord chose her. The Lord loved her. The Lord came for her. The Lord raised her from the dead, spiritual dead, quickened her, revealed himself to her. And from that day forward, she kept coming to Christ, sitting at his feet. There, you know, there's several Marys in Scripture. It's a good name. And at least two of them brought spices. You know that? Two Marys that brought all they had and anointed him. One with her hair, and this isn't Mary. But you see, what I'm trying to say is that when God calls a person, and he calls the weak, the nobodies, like these poor women, and they follow him, and they sit at his feet, and that's where you'll find them. Till the day he comes back, that's where you'll find them. Because nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not principalities, power, death, no. Nothing, no one. They love him because he first loved them. And it says they brought the spices. Brought spices, verse 1. Spices which they prepared, as we noted last Wednesday, that he didn't need these spices. I was going to have you turn to Song of Solomon. It speaks of him. She spoke of him and he spoke of her. And they both had been wearing these spices. His cheeks were spices. And the principal spices. I was going to go all the way back to Exodus and look at all these principal spices we've looked at before. One of them principally was myrrh. And that woman in the Song of Solomon, remember, she was asleep, and he came for her again. She was asleep, and he left, and she thought she had lost him. And she went to open the door, and it says it was dropping myrrh. And then she was not going to rest till she found him again. So here they come with these same spices. He didn't need them, but they brought them anyway. And that's why I love that verse in the Song of Solomon. It says, "Come, O north wind, blow, O south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." That's what we say when we come to worship the Lord. Let the spices of praise and singing and calling and hearing enwrapped, let this flow out. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy. Let my beloved come into my garden. Find these spices. Let me anoint him with these spices. Though he doesn't need them. Now he rolled back that door, verse 2. Who did? Man did. God did. Sent two powerful angels. Rolled back that stone. Like the same one who ripped that veil in the temple. Removed the barrier, the hindrance. And stone was rolled away. An earthquake. Keepers that kept that. I love the story. It says that Herod or Pilate. Which one? Pilate. They came to him and said, "He said he was going to, they say that he's going to rise again, so we need to do something about that." Mm-hmm. And Pilate said, "Well, go make it sure as you can." You go and you keep the door and you stay there and just make certain he doesn't come out of there. Huh? You going to stop the sun from shining? And it says that when he rolled back that stone, those men were on the ground like dead men. And they were there when he was talking to Mary and everybody, but they were dead. Well, these poor women again heard his blessed voice. There they lay, dead. Boy, that isn't a picture of the gospel. They went in, verse 3, they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. They were much perplexed, and two shining ones in garment, two men in shining garment. These are just men, angels. We've seen this before. Angels are just messengers. Angels aren't God. You're not to worship angels. Right? John fell at the feet of one of those angels. He said, don't. He said, I'm one of your brethren of the prophets. I'm just like you. I'm just wearing a glorified body. Don't worship me. Worship him. You know, I'm wearing a shining garment right now. You just can't see it. You are too. You are too. Two men. And here's what they said. Don't seek the living among the dead. Why do you seek the living among the dead? You know, dead works, dead religion, dead doctrine, dead services. The whole world is just dead, aren't they? But they like to meet together in the cemetery. It makes them feel dead. I don't know. It's a candlelight service. Early in the morning, sunrise service. The scriptures doesn't tell us to do that. Oh, religion is so dead. I was going to have you turn to Isaiah 8. It says, if to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to my word, there's no light in them. They're darkness. And all that's in the world is dimness and darkness and anguish of the spirit, dead and dying. He said, in Isaiah 8, he said, don't fear their fear. Let fear the Lord. Let him be your fear and your dread. Don't join with them and what they do. It's just dead religion. Well, look at verse 6. They said, he is not here. He is risen. He is not here. You know, God's not worshipped with men's hands. God dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. That's what we just said. That a day, we don't worship a day. We don't hallow a day, we hallow a person. And though God, you know, this house is not a place where the Lord lives. He visits it. He visits it, but he doesn't live here. He dwelleth in light that no man can approach unto. How can God dwell in, who sitteth on the circle of the earth? Our Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Lord right now. And this building is not hallowed. This place, this building is just wood, hay, and stubble. And not one stone going to be left standing on another. And that, like Jerusalem, like the temple, people worship those things and it's idolatry. Holy place, it's idolatry. And that's why the Lord tore every one of them down that they built. He tore them all down. That's why you can't find the Ark of the Covenant. That's why you can't find Noah's Ark. One time they found the serpent of brass. Remember? And they were worshiping that thing. And Hezekiah ground it to powder and threw it and said, it's just Nehushtan, worthless brass. God's people worship God. How? In spirit. Don't need flesh, things. I mean, the Spirit of God. And who we worship and rejoice in is Christ crucified, buried, risen, ascended, exalted, seated, coming again. So he's not here. He's risen. He's risen. He's not here. And verse 6 says, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? See, the truth has changed. He has changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember what he said to you in Galilee? The truth was heard in Galilee. Let me dwell on this a little more. Galilee was a very poor place. It was in the northern mountains above, pretty far away from Jerusalem. That's where he started. And when he was crucified outside of Jerusalem. He came into Jerusalem. Did they receive him? Mm-mm. He went outside the camp. That's where he started. He was raised in Nazareth, which was Galilee. That's where the poor people were. That's where the despised people, mountain people, ignorant people. uneducated people, fishermen, Galileans. Remember, that's what they said about the apostle. Who are these Galileans? How did they get such wisdom? Where did these Galileans come up with this? Jesus of Galilee. He spent most of his time in Capernaum, where most of his miracles were done in those places. Capernaum. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what even Nathanael said. Magdala? Who lives in Magdala? Poor, despised, nobody's from nowhere. Who lives in Grundy, Virginia? One of God's elect. The Lord was raised in this place. He walked there. Most of his preaching, most of his miracles were done there. His alone time by the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. A bunch of poor, chosen nobodies. 1,500 years before this, Joshua set aside a city of refuge in Galilee. Be with me. Brothers and sisters. Oh, there's a place that God has chosen to put his name there. And this is one of them. Aren't we blessed? Put his truth here. Little old two-bit town full of nobodies. But Christ keeps coming back. And I mentioned it Wednesday, but he laid in the grave on the Sabbath, didn't he? Sabbath day, by design, on purpose. He was resting. And we were crucified with Christ and buried. And he laid in the grave, seemingly dead on the Sabbath day. And we're dead to the law by the body of Christ. But he arose the first day of the week, and he is our Sabbath now, from now on. We rest in him. He rested from his work, from keeping the law, and we rest in him. And risen in him. And here's what they said, reminding them again. That all that Christ had said to them in Galilee from the beginning, he reminded them again of all that he'd been saying to them. Again. Verse 7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered. We're going to see in the next message how that all our confusion and all of our lack of peace and joy and all of our sadness and all of our troubles come from the fact that we forget what he said. Why he came, what he did, who he did it for, why he did it to us, and why we're here. And so they returned from the sepulcher and told the 11. They were together. And all the rest. They were still meeting together, but they were afraid. And they were in doubt. They were in fear. It was Mary. Who was it? Who are they? You remember on the Isle of Patmos, John saw the revelation of Christ and all these things. And he said he saw a number which no man could number. And he said, who are they? Who are they? And the angel said, these are they whom Christ redeemed, washed in his own blood, have gone through great tribulation, all of them. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women. You know, if you could open up the books of heaven, you'd see where's Robin, Nancy, Irene, Earlene, Catherine, Ron. He said, women. No, we're all the bride. John. Thomas. Charles. Dan. And the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you know? Here they are.
Right back again. That's who. Among the disciples, the words seem like idle tales. They believe not, but here goes Peter again. He acted like he didn't believe, but what did he do? Ran. He acted later on, early on, he acted like he didn't even know the Lord, like he didn't believe the Lord. And then we heard that command, go tell the disciples and Peter. He was out in the boat, remember? He couldn't get back fast enough. That's how you know. We act like we don't believe. And we might go away a little while, but if we belong to Him, run back to Him. We'll run back to Him. And they rose and stooped. He stooped down, beheld the linen clothes, and that's all another message and another gospel. The napkin wrapped the head, laid by itself. Don't you love this? Is there a greater story ever told? It ain't no idle tale either. It's the truth. Our living Lord. He wondered in himself at that which was come to pass. And later on, Simon Peter wrote. Simon Peter, he hadn't seen him yet. Did Simon love him? Oh, yes, he did. Did he act like he didn't? Yes, he did. Why is he back? Because the Lord loved him. And later on, Simon Peter wrote to all those who have obtained like precious faith. He said, whom having not seen, you love. How do you know? Here you are. Back again. Waiting on the consolation of Israel, the kingdom of God, and the Lord to appear. He's coming. No counting.